Hey, welcome to You Never Know Who You're Inspiring podcast with Paul Napoli and Tim Ellis. Man, this week we are we're having a conversation that you are not going to want to miss. Paul's going to go into a little more depth on what that is. We are in trying times right now, man. The country is a mess. We have racial issues. It's 2020 and enough is enough. We need to bring humanity back and into this country. We are all together. And Paul, I'll let you go ahead and introduce our special guest this week and what we're talking about.
Absolutely nailed it. We are all together and we need to be all together. Our special guest this week is the owner of Champions Martial Arts. He has created his own movement, the Never Stop Believing movement. Carlos Tierney is our special guest this week. He, myself, and Tim have so many things in common. So many things. We are all very similar in our beliefs. We are very similar in our love for the martial arts, in our mission on changing the world. There is one thing, other than the fact that Tim and Carlos are both over 6 foot tall. So I guess there's two things that we are not the same at, and that's they are tall and our race. This is a conversation that we had. Our conversation ended up going over 2.5 hours. What you guys are about to hear is almost a couple hours of a conversation between people who have lived different lives, ended up in similar positions in life, but have lived and continue to live different lives, partially and mainly due to our race. This is a conversation you don't want to miss. This is a conversation that I hope you listen to, you absorb it all. You have this conversation with your friends, and that together we change the world.
All right, so sit back. Here we go.
I'm good, man. How are you? You guys are official. You got real mics and everything. I love it.
It's just a placebo. They don't work. No, I'm just kidding.
Pull that out of the toy box.
I hear that. Tim, how are you, man?
Good, man. The last time I saw you, you were schooling me on the basketball court.
Oh, that was some good times.
I miss it. I loved it.
When are we ever going to have that opportunity to do that again?
We talk about it a lot. And during all of this, Paul and I on this podcast have talked about how you just didn't realize how much we take for granted each and every day. Just the small Absolutely. Things, you know, just getting together on a Absolutely. Tuesday night, a bunch of guys shooting hoops. You just don't realize how blessed we are to have those opportunities. And we take that stuff for granted. We don't, you know. Crazy.
And now it all gets taken away, and it's kind of like, man, I just want to do that again. Like, man,
right. Like, exactly.
Yeah, so I totally get that.
We talk all the time about taking things for granted. And, yeah, I mean, Carlos, I know you see my Facebook posts and stuff and whatnot, mm-hmm. and I'm always like, you know, live life to the fullest. And, you know, that's how mm-hmm. I truly feel. Who would have thought that playing in an old man basketball league is something that we wouldn't be able to do? You know what I mean?
Like, calling old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just you absolutely. And Carlos.
Yeah, listen, we're all up there. We're all at an age where when we were younger, we thought, man, that's too old to be. And I was excited to be here.
Right.
Let's enjoy this. Embrace it.
That's right.
I feel you, man. You're absolutely right. So tell me a little about the podcast, Tim. So you got this podcast going. Like, do you have like a name for something you just kind of do?
Yeah, so.
You and Paul do it every weekend?
Yeah, we do it. Paul and I do it once a week. We basically decided to, how can we help people along, pick people up, you know, and we said, I was on Paul for about a year and a half going, dude, you are so inspiring. You got to get out there. You got to get your voice heard. And we should do a podcast. So that's how it started. Absolutely. And Paul was like, whatever, get off my back about this podcast for like, and I just kept hounding him. I'm like, dude.
Listen, Paul, the greatest thing, man, listen, we do this all the time.
Right.
Like every class we teach, every time we're in front of somebody, everything, this is what we do, right? We are just a live podcast. We're just not putting it into this format. So that's fantastic that you were able to see that, Tim, and that Paul, you were able to agree to it. I know you guys are doing some great things.
Yeah. So then he finally just he kind of forgot about it, and I knocked on his door one day, and I go, dude, I got it all set. I know how to do it. I figured it out. We're going to do it. And he's like, all right, let's do it. And so we brought this mic in, and the two of us sat. He was on one side, and I was on the other side, and that's how we did our first podcast, and it was about goals.
Yeah.
So,
oh, good.
So we call it, you never know who you're inspiring, and we try to bring people on that, you know, are truly inspiring people, leaders in the community, and we just try to just lift each other up, especially, man. And then we started this thing, right, and then coronavirus hits. So then each week we're just trying to pick people up because everybody's down, man. Everybody's like, this is, you know.
It's a tough time, man. It's a tough time. It's tough a tough time. You know, I tell you, I get, you know, Paul is probably going through the same experience, but, you know, I truly get my uplifting from the fans I'm still being able to interact with during this time, but really my own family, man. Like, just really, like, I'm spending so much time with my kids and with my wife, and it's just a different, it's a different experience. Like, you know, instead of like, oh, I gotta be with my kids, I'm like enjoying the time that I get to be with them. And that's what's getting me through it. You know, because when I'm not around them and I'm kind of sitting on my own, you know how we are. We're in our own thoughts. We're going through all of our what ifs. What if this happens? What if this happened? What angle I'm gonna go here? You know, if they say this, I gotta do that. Like, am I prepared? Like, you know, who's coming back? Who's not coming back? You know, all those type of things. Like, once I get into that thought, it drains you.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you're around your family and just kind of be able to interact with them, it just makes it more like, you know what, we're going to be fine.
Absolutely. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to take this time that I get to hang with my boys and my wife that normally I would be, you know, to just chill and hang out. I'm with you 100%.
And even in the way that we're doing it right now, we're still going.
Right. Right.
I don't know about you, but I'm still going, but there's still that, is that time that you just appreciate that you're able to sit with everyone. Oh, you guys.
Yeah, you're frozen, but I can still hear you. So that's good. Except now
that's
you're
a
going.
Cool trick, Carlos.
Tim kind of froze.
I froze on you. Am I moving?
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I have to do that in my class all the time. I'm like teaching, everybody just kind of standing and looking at me like, am I frozen? What's happening?
Yeah, that's funny.
Carlos, that's a cool all trick, right, man. You're just like, boom.
That was good. That was good. So
tell me, guys, what's up? Paul, first, I want to thank you for the message you sent me, man.
No problem.
I thought that was very, how do you say it, courageous in a certain way.
For sure.
You know, obviously, you know my personality, so you kind of, I felt you felt comfortable coming to me. But it also was a very, I got chills from the message, and I thought that was powerful and amazing. And not enough people do that. So I appreciate you reaching out to me.
I'll tell you right now, that makes my day. I've had a good day. I've had a crazy day, but a good day. That makes my day.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, we talk often with what we do, Carlos. We tell people, you got to get out of your comfort zone if you want to grow. If you want, you know, and a lot of times it's about fitness and obviously mental health and stuff. But it's like, if you want to grow, you got to get out of your comfort zone. So Tim and I are talking about this podcast idea. And I'm like, man, like, on anybody in the world, Carlos Tierney would be a phenomenal person to talk to and have do this with us. Like, the cool thing, so Tim and I and you, the three of us, share in the same mission. And Tim, okay, I know you're recording, which is fantastic, because really, this is the podcast. This is what we do. We just, we go, we talk, we have fun. So I'll tell you, even sending you the message, I know you and I have spoke how many times? Have we bounced ideas off each other and, you know, you helped me, and I try to assist if you need any. You know what I mean? We work with each other often.
Yeah.
This is one of those conversations that needs to be had in general. I feel in general, but it's a tough conversation. So it's like we talk a lot about mental health and suicide prevention and stuff. That's another one of those like taboo, like tough things to discuss. So even getting the courage to message you because of the sensitivity of the entire thing, even having the relationship with you that I have, I was nervous. I was not that you would get mad, but that maybe I'm an idiot for thinking, you know what I mean? Like all the self-doubt, So when you responded the way you responded, I was like, and this is what I thought. I thought we would be on the same page and be like, let's get any positive message out to people that we can and educate people. Absolutely. because that's what we do. We educate. So I was thrilled at your acceptance of this whole conversation, man.
Well, and I'm here, man, and I will be as truthful for you guys as possible. I will share my experiences for myself and just not just myself, but just my family and things like that that we've kind of gone through. And then the perspective and what how people see certain things and how they respond to certain things and why certain responses are in certain ways. And we'll just kind of go from there. So I'll let you guys fire off the questions and anything that you guys want to kind of go. And then we'll just kind of go that way and build from there.
Awesome.
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Do you want to just keep going and we'll do the introduction after?
Why don't we do that? Why don't we just keep chatting and then we'll do the introduction later. And then Tim does all the editing and makes us sound good. Thank God.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You're good.
So I guess I'll kind of start with me. You know, my name is Carlos Tierney. I've been in martial arts since 1983. My uncle owns Tierney's Karate, so I was with him for a very long time, and things just kind of happened over the years, and I have my own facility now, my own place. But I, even through my time in martial arts, I grew up in the inner city. I lived in a project development called Eastwood. And there was a project out there. It was actually, to me, it was like a suburban project. It was really, wasn't a lot of issues, a lot of violence or something like that. No real things that happened. And when I was 12 years old, I moved to the west side of Syracuse. And at that point, we lived literally like in the heart of everything that you would think could happen in the west side of Syracuse. So for me, it was eye-opening because I'm coming from a place that was kind of secluded. We had our own things that were going on. But then when I went into this environment, it was like, whoa,
right.
This is really happening. This is how people are. This is how people are living. This is how families are getting by. And then at the time, I didn't even realize that we were living the same way. We were just in a different community or different environment. So we still didn't have a lot. We still didn't have a lot of things that people that seem like they're living worse than what we were. So that was a real eye-opening thing when I was 12 years old. I went to Lincoln, graduated from Hennigar. So again, just kind of being in an environment was always, I was able to become accustomed to it and be able to navigate through it in addition to, you know, doing my martial arts and everything. And martial arts was an amazing opportunity for me. What some people forget, and I'm just going to kind of talk here, what some people forget about the inner city is that there's not a lot of opportunities, number one. If you're not playing a sport, right? If you're not doing a sport, if you're not already kind of like really into books and really like have that level of intelligence, there's not a lot of other opportunities for you. So martial arts was an amazing opportunity for me. And again, I thank my uncle and my mom for kind of having that for me because I was able during certain times to be able to escape. I was able to be able to go, you know, my uncle's school was in Matteydale, then it was in Camillus. So I was able to go from Matteydale and Camillus. And when I'm in Camillus, I see a different life. Like people are happy. People, there's two family homes. People are just happy. Like it's just a different type of energy, right? And then, you know, when I leave the school, I go back to what I'm used to. This is where I live. This is my life, right? So, and it's like I had to almost live two lives. A lot of people didn't realize that, right? I'm in the karate school, you know, doing the thing I had to do at karate school, but then I had to leave there, and then I had to go home. Well, home was I had to deal with, you know, the block, the people, and the people in my community, and things of that nature. So there had to be kind of like a switch. So I have one hat on this one. Had to take that hat off and put the other hat on. Because if I didn't, I didn't fit in. I wasn't a part of what was going on, right? So for me, that was the opportunity that I had. I had that opportunity to see something different. Most people in the inner city don't have that opportunity. Now, I'm gonna give you the demographics if you look at the city. Yeah. The city of Syracuse has the north side, the south side, the east side, and the west side. It's like a box, right? So you have a project, community, low income communities, everything. They're all like in a box. Now, if you go two or three streets out, you're in a suburban, a more, you know, affluent or more middle class or more comfortable feeling area, right? And obviously the further you go out, the more comfortable it seems. But in this box, some people never leave this box.
Right.
Like when I would go in and I would speak to any inner city school kids and I would tell them, you know, about opportunities, sometimes you miss the opportunities when they're in front of you because they don't see outside that box. They don't have that opportunity that I have to go see a different life that you can have for yourself. Think about that. People don't,
you're talking about the environment and, outside of learning martial arts at an older age, when I joined Five Star, I've worked in public service for 20 years now, right? As a 911 dispatcher. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly, Carlos, what you're talking about because we deal with the problems going on in all the communities in Onondaga County and specifically the city of Syracuse. You're describing these areas and I know exactly where you're talking about. I know what streets, I know what the block number, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So when I say it, you can totally understand and picture this box,
yes,
this little box that everything's kind of put in. So when you're getting all these calls, this call is coming from this part of the box. This call mm-hmm. is coming from this part of the box. This call is coming from this part of the box. This call is coming from this part of the box. Although you have calls coming from everywhere else,
yep,
you're getting a lot of these calls from inside this box area.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I feel as living in and being in that environment. If you don't see anything else, you don't know anything else.
Right.
Only know what's there. Right. So now again, and this is kind of like where some of the racial divide come in, right? When you go out into these other environments, if someone like Paul or someone like you, Tim, if you come in and you pull someone out, people are going to look at it like you're doing it for charity or right. you're trying to, and that's not it at all. But what you're really doing, and even in that environment, the person doesn't have the right mindset. They don't see that you're just trying to show different life out here.
Right.
Than what you're stuck in. And there's that's where you run into the catch 22, right? You want to help. You feel like you're helping, but the other person feels like you're doing it because I'm trying to show you that there's more to life than what you see right here.
Right.
So now when you look at that, now it's like, okay, when I show you that there's more to life, you have to take the opportunity. And then within that opportunity, you have to find your way to be able to provide that for yourself and for your family. And that's again, where if I don't know how to get out of this environment,
right,
then I'm stuck. It is so important for me to keep striving and keep pushing the way that I push, not just for my own personal family, but for my other family members too.
Right.
So they see that I am pulling myself out of it. They see that there is a way.
Yep.
Right? And this is ideally most of our community, as far as the Black community and the inner city community.
Right. Now, sorry, Paul.
No, you're good. Go.
So you describe everything you just described, I'm guessing is what other cities are seeing as well, correct?
Listen, Tim, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, so a lot of people talk about Syracuse, how small Syracuse is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I say I come from Syracuse, that's the country, that's the, every city has an inner city. Every city has a hood or a ghetto or a low income community. That low income community is the community that is considered the inner city. And that is in every city that I've gone to. I've traveled pretty much all over the U.S.
I don't know. Is he there? Carlos, you there?
Carlos, you're frozen. Oh, no, he's gone.
We'll get him right back. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I think he's going to come right back. Are you back? Guys. Okay, good.
I'm good. Yeah. So I'm sorry. So what I think was I had the opportunity to travel, you know, all over the U.S. Competing and stuff. And every time I would travel somewhere, we'll stay like in the hotels, things of that nature. But when we actually would go out and explore the community, it was all the same. Mm-hmm. You have your lower income and your Black, Latino, you know, I would say even some lower income white families that live in this small little bubble.
Right.
And then outside of that, you have like your suburbs. So any city that you go to is kind of all built the same way. Now, They talk about generational things, things like this is a generational thing. This is something that started way, way back before our time, ideally, is that they put these people, or us as in the minority of people, in this one area, and that's where they keep you, so you don't come out here. So if you look at any type of city that you go to, just look at what the demographic looks like.
Right.
And then see like where would be the inner city, right? And then what would be considered the suburbs? It's all the same no matter where you go. So when people say, oh, Syracuse is small, listen, we have, for us, when we have 32 murders or 20, 25 murders in Syracuse, that's a lot of murders.
Right.
For our small community, our city. Right? Yeah. Where you look at New York City, they could have 300 in New York City, but because they're bigger, it's actually not as, we still have more.
Right.
Yeah.
For our demographic.
Right.
And Tim, you're 911, you do the 911 dispatch.
Yep.
That most of that is happening in this small little box.
You're 100% accurate.
In a 10 square block radius of Syracuse, you can have 20 murders.
We'll have, you know, and I don't know the exact numbers, but just, you know, we deal with Onondaga County. We may have 2 homicides in the county in a year. And like you said, anywhere from upper 20s to 30 in the city, you know, so, in those areas.
So when people, Paul, part of what your question was to me was what I feel like I understand, but I don't understand. Right. Yep. I want to help. I want to bring positivity into people's life, but it's really, really hard when I know people say I'm oppressed, or, you know, it's still a level of oppression that people don't really understand, right? There's still a level of classification. What I mean by classification, I mean lower, poor, middle class, then there's middle class, then there's upper middle class, then there's the higher middle class. Just in that classification, there's separation. It's not racism, let's just say, but it's the classification. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in the classification of being a lower income person, I'm more than likely going to be put into this box.
Right.
So I don't know how to get out of that. I don't know what else to do but to survive in this little arena that I'm in, this little 10 square block radius.
Right. It's powerful, man. Just everything you're saying, I mean, what are we, 5-10 minutes in? Everything you're saying is like, I'm mesmerized by, I love listening to you anyways, but I'm mesmerized by just hearing what you're saying. And I'm, what I always do, I'm putting myself in that position just based off of the little bit that I hear, the little bit that I can pretend that I know just off the things I see and what you're telling me. And it couldn't be more true that you don't know what you don't know. So I grew up in Cicero Clay. Like, that's my crew, that's my territory, that's where I hang out, that's what I've always seen. When you talk about taking it and getting into that box of the city and not understanding what is on the outside of that box, it's almost like, so like I'm on the outside of that box thinking I know what's going on the inside of the box, only to in 5 minutes understand that I might even know a tenth of what's actually going on inside of that box. Do you know what I mean?
So I'm gonna share a little story. I was actually just, me and my little brother, we were just speaking. And our family has gone through tragedy for years, right? I give an example. So my stepsister, my brother's actual sister as well. I was in Orlando, or not Orlando, New Orleans at a karate tournament. And I'm down there having a great time. We won the event. Our team did well. I fought really well, won. And we're out having a good time. I get a text at like 2:30 in the morning that my sister, who was out, and she got into an argument with the guy, and he stabbed her. Stabbed her in the leg. She bled out before she got to the hospital. Okay. Now you bring it 2 years later. My cousin, who was like my sister, she comes to my bachelorette party with me and my ex-wife. We had a bachelorette, like a Jack and Jill party. Her boyfriend lights her son up with lighter fluid and sets him on fire. in my mother's house, and my mom has to grab him and take him to the tub and run him underwater to try to help him. He gets into the hospital. He has to go to Boston because they have the burn unit there, and he dies there 5 days later.
No way.
Keep going forward, keep going forward. We lose, you know, an aunt who was really close to us. We lose my cousin, lost his big brother from a heart attack. And then come last year, my nephew got killed, right? So again, this is all just in this circle of environment that you living in Cicero, you probably would never experience half of that.
No.
Action of it.
No.
Not at all.
It's almost like, and I don't know if you can hear us right now, Carlo, because you're frozen again. But to me, and if you can't, I'll repeat it. It feels like just the what you're saying and the way you're describing it. Almost, I don't want to say war, but it almost feels like a war going on in your home, like in your four walls, within that box. It sounds, you know, like, I mean, tough.
I'm sorry, guys. I keep cutting out. I didn't hear anything you said.
That's okay. I'm going to say it again. So to me, just hearing you, you know, you say this is, so I'm big on energy. I mean, you are too. We know, obviously we know this. I'm big on energy. I'm big on that, like, you know, rainbows and butterflies and positivity and like, damn, man, life's good. You only get one chance. So to feel this energy that you're talking about that you would feel in those, in that square, on a daily basis, to feel that type of energy blows my mind. It's almost like a war in a way within your own, just your own area right there, that you almost, I don't know, man, it's scary, sad, like just incredible. I'm blown away, to be completely blunt. I'm just blown away.
I can say that with, so again, let's just talk about that demographic of, that box, right?
Yep.
My school is outside of that box. So if I'm comfortable being outside of my box, I won't go outside of my box.
Right.
I have my program outside of that box is because I wanted to have the opportunity for people, just like I had the opportunity in my martial arts experience, to see and be around other people.
Yep.
Yeah.
I could very, very, very easily put my program in the box.
Right.
But if I put my program in the box, all I'm doing is feeding the box.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
It absolutely makes sense.
So although my program is 15 minutes from anywhere, is what I like to say every time. My program is 15 minutes from anywhere. That 15 minutes could take you outside of that box. And guess what? I'm not comfortable being outside of that box. My comfort zone is in this box, because when I go outside of that box, now I have to worry about being judged differently, looked at differently.
I ask you that.
Maybe my kids don't look like the other kids in the program. Maybe my kids don't dress like the other kids in the program. Maybe I'm not able to keep my hair as nice and as neat as some of the other kids in the program. So all that, again, this is things that people don't really understand. All that's happening. So because that's happening, my children that are in this bubble or in this proximity never get to see anything different.
Right.
They don't get to see different. They don't get to say, hey, mom, how do we get to that? Hey, dad, how do we get to that? Which in turn should either help you, push you to want to be able to try whatever you can to provide more where there's an opportunity for you to be able to provide more, or in turn allow your child to be in and around an environment that promotes something different than what we have in our school. Or, sorry, not our school, in our community.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say when I have a family that comes to me from the inner city, they are extremely important to me for a different reason. because I know they're coming from. I understand where they're coming from. I understand that I have to, and I can speak to them in a different dialect and in a different way for me to be able to connect and communicate with them.
Right.
Right. There's a different way and a different style of technique to speak, kind of. Right. Not everybody understands a certain type of language or a certain type of way or a certain type of, I don't even want to say dialect, but a certain type of how they don't hear the message the same way.
Sure.
So when I have someone come into my program that comes from that box, I have to give them the message so I know they understand it to help them grow.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense.
So as far as support from the community, I don't get a lot of the families. Now, all my people that I grew up with, all love what I'm doing.
Good.
Give me big kudos when they see me. Proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. You still doing that. I'm so, that's great. That's that, blah, blah, blah. But they're not bringing their kids out there.
Right, right. No, yeah. I get that.
So that's the catch 22. But I understand. I'm not going to change how that's set up for myself and for my family. But I will embrace anyone that allows themselves to come outside that comfort zone. And know that when they come outside that comfort zone, they're going to be safe.
Right.
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 And that's some of the things that I feel that's happened and why I probably don't have a very affluent African-American base in my program.
Right.
Because of just that.
Sure. Sure.
And I understand it. I want to break it. I would do what I can to break it. But I just don't know how. I don't know what's the way. I mean, right. I can't drag them out. You know what I mean? It has to be a parent kind of being involved and wanting that for their child. My mother sent me to my uncle.
Right.
Right. And then because I got into it and I enjoyed it and I loved it so much, I used to catch the bus from where I live, the Central, by myself at 11 years old, going to the karate school. I will come from my middle school and take the bus right from middle school and go to the karate school. And then I would have someone from the karate school that would bring me home every day, every night. When I became like 14, 15, it was different. Now I was able to bus myself home. But now because I'm busing myself home, I'm coming home at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. When I get off the bus, I can no longer be the karate guy. I gotta be Los. I gotta be the guy from, you know, from around. I gotta be this guy now. And again, it was a balancing act. And it wasn't until I was probably 18 that I really had to sit back and realize that I have to take myself out of here. I have to focus more, because what's gonna end up happening is I'm gonna get myself caught up in something. And that's not what I want for myself at the time.
Sure.
So
I think the environment that you've talked about is to me, it's an eye opening, when we were dealing with some of the problems, with your connection, I was telling Paul, I go, you know what? I didn't have a great childhood. I really didn't in my eyes.
Yeah.
But what was different for me was I had a different environment. When I walked out of my doors, I didn't have to worry about the environment around me. I didn't have to worry about, who's carrying guns down the street or what situations were going on in that box, right? I didn't have that. I lived out in, I'm rural. I'm out in Marcellus. All that's out there is cows and, farming and that kind of stuff. My saving grace was I walked into a volunteer fire department and they kind of took me under their wing and gave me the structure that I needed and the support that I needed at that time when I was very vulnerable and dealing with things at home and just needed, but I had a place like you mentioned earlier, I had a place to go. Mm-hmm. I had an environment that was much different. That's key, man. It's huge. And I guess the question, Paul and I talked for 2.5 hours last night, getting ready, just because he called me and said, we were both outraged at what's gone on this week. We were both like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Humanity, what is going on with humanity? This is just out of control. It's crazy. And we got talking, and for 2.5 hours we talked, and I told him, I go, I couldn't sleep last night. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I didn't have to be to work till 6:30. I was up at 4 o'clock. By 4:45, I'm in a car. I'm at Woodlawn Reservoir, running around the top of the reservoir, running up to the top of the hill, climbing up the backside of the mountain, just because I was so pissed off and so fired up over everything that's going on. And I have a hard time understanding. And one of the things that Paul and I talked about last night is, are we blind to stuff? What is it? And I think this conversation is enlightening for me. And it's helped me understand. And I've worked in public service for 20 years, so I know what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. But, man, sorry.
I totally get it. So I don't post a lot on Facebook as far as a lot of the my political views, a lot of the racial things that are happening. Let me go back. I didn't post a lot because I didn't want to bring that energy, because some people can post, and I'll just say from my community, some people can post, but they've never been through it.
Mm-hmm.
When I post, it's coming from a different place.
Sure.
I've never had an issue with cops. I never had to deal with that, but my brother did.
Mm-hmm.
The night that I told you that my cousin's son got burnt, my brother was the first one to the house. And when he got there, he was really, really upset. He wanted to know where my mom was. He wanted to know, he was irate. They wouldn't let him go in the house. There's a fire. There's fire trucks, police, and everything. You pull up on your mom's house.
Right.
You don't know what's going on. All you want to, this is the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
All you want to do is get inside to your mom. Now, this is my little brother, who our sister, which was just stabbed to death 18 months ago. So he's already raw and emotional. Now he comes to the house where he lives, and this is happening. So he's upset. He's irate. He's aggressive. He wants to get in the house. They won't let him get in the house. He's struggling to try to get in the house. So they beat him up. I come from where I'm at. I see my mom. I kind of see what's going on. And my mom's like, CJ. I'm like, where's my brother? He's in a paddy wagon. I go to see him, his face is all beat up. So now think about my response now and my emotion.
Right, right.
I am ready to explode.
I'm sure.
But I knew in that situation, I literally had to bring myself. Luckily, I knew one of the detectives that was working, and he pulled me off to the side to kind of explain to me what was happening. And he said, your brother was being irate. He was upset. He was angry. And we had to kind of do whatever we did. But I'm looking like, which I didn't have to do that to him.
Right.
Right. So when you see someone like a Greg Floyd, you see something like all these other kids and people that are being killed by the police, I'm thinking to myself, like, that could have been my little brother.
Right. That's actually the first place my head went when you're telling the story, was that, because, you know, and I know I saw your post.
I'm gonna say this real quick, Paul.
No, you're good.
I you know, certain things happen in life and you kind of like, you don't think about it until before I came on, when I said I was just talking to my little brother about some stuff that we kind of had been going through.
Yeah.
He brought that back to me.
Right.
And it just brought back every emotion. Yep. Because he said for him to see this guy with the knee on the back of the other guy's neck, he remembered being in that situation.
Right.
His wife don't understand his emotion behind that. Right. His wife's family don't understand, because they didn't have to experience that.
Right.
I understand that emotion. I understand what he feels when he sees this. And if he didn't bring that to me, I almost forgot about it.
Right.
Right? I almost forgot about it because it had been so many years. But for him, every time he sees it, it opens up more wounds. It rips it open.
It's traumatic. It's post-traumatic. And we talk about this a lot when things happen to people, they relive it because it's a traumatic event. You know, the way he was treated that night is a traumatic event. So anything can bring that back. He sees something, boom, it's right back there because it was a horrible event for him. You know, like you said, he showed up, emotions were high. You know, there's a fire, he wants to know where his mom is. He's excited. And then now he's beat up. Why?
Nah, he's beat up. He's the victim.
Why?
He's the one. He's the one that.
Yeah.
That is, and this is my little brother.
Right.
And this is my, like, he's 8 years younger than me, right? So he's like my baby. Like, he's my, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. When I come up, it's like I am. So when you see so much, and this is just my situation.
Right.
Paul, there are people, Tim, there are people that experience this tenfold and greater. I'm sharing my experience with you.
Right.
I know personally people that have experienced, like I've shared some of just my timeline of death and things that happened in my life. My nephew just got killed last year, right? He was a part of this vicious cycle that happened in our community. You know, in the year that he got killed, there was 27 other kids or 26 other kids that were families that were destroyed by gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the year before that, there was 24. The year before that, there was 27. The year before that, there was 26. And here I'm thinking that my family, we're good. We got caught in that as well.
Right. Right.
Right. So now for me, that's something that my family's experiencing. There are families and people that are experiencing so much more than what, and Tim, you do 911. So you already know the stuff that you got coming in and how, mm-hmm. Wow, I can't, like, I'm sure just hearing it.
It's, yeah. A lot of times, you know what I mean? The calls come in and we kind of, because when they're coming in, you know, Carlos, they're coming in hot. They're coming in as things are going on. Yeah. We kind of live those moments with them. You know, we hang up the phone. A lot of times we're like, you know, before we can even process that, the phone's ringing for the next call.
And now imagine a person that's calling you for help. And the people that are supposed to be coming to help them treats them in the way like they're the problem.
Yeah.
That is what's happened. That is the anger that you see within policing and within law enforcement.
There's other situations going on. How do we fix it? How do we make it better? We have great officers. We have great police officers. And when an officer comes in, right, they come in out of the academy. They're recruits. They've learned all the things. They've learned how to become a police officer. And they start off in the streets excited, ready to work. They're personable. And then by 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, after seeing horrific things, being in that box, seeing the struggle, and seeing everything is going on, do you think the police officer changes from day one to day year 20?
Absolutely.
Is that part of the problem? I don't know.
I truly believe that, and what I believe over time, is that they get desensitized to certain things. Because when you are seeing this traumatic experiences all the time, mm-hmm. and you're constantly in it, it is very easy to, again, I'm just speaking from what my perspective would be.
Yeah.
Would be that it would come a time where you will almost get to a level of being desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always called to the same demographic, the same thing. I'm dealing with the same type of issues over and over and over. And after a while, you go from wanting to protect and help the community to just, this is just what it is. I'm doing my job and let it be what it's going to be. So your question, and this is really ironic because I wanted to become a cop before I opened up my school.
Me too. So did I wanted. I also had that vision. I swear to God.
Yeah, I wanted to be a cop before I opened my school. Long story short, I went through everything. You know, I was going through a divorce, and at the time I was going through a divorce, I had debt and things like that. So they're like, oh, you know what? You got too much debt. You become a cop. We're not gonna be able to trust you. Blah blah blah. This, that, and the other. But So here's another story I had with, I shared with my wife last night. So looking at all the stuff that's happening, and I'm going to come back to what we talked about, Tim. So at the time, me and my wife had split, and the person that she was seeing at the time was going to be in the same academy that I was in. Now you can imagine, you know, if you have a situation with you and your wife and, you know, another guy, you guys are going to have bump heads and stuff. Mm-hmm. I never fired him up, right? I never fired him up. I was able to keep that restraint that I didn't do that as much as I wanted to. So I was just thinking the other day, and I look at all these cop things, and he's a cop now. If I would have fired him up back then, and now he's has this position of power as a police officer, at any time, he could have pulled me over. He knows that I'm a very highly trained martial artist, and he's experienced what I would put him through. How do you think that would go for me?
Right.
What would be the outcome for me? Being that we possibly would have had a history. He knows where I come from and what I do. He is going to bring something to a situation possibly. Hypothetically, he could have brought something to a situation that may have gotten me to respond in a way that would have justified him responding in a way. And then because I'm a highly trained 6'2", 245, 250 pound man, that's a martial artist, what did he fear for? His life.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And guess whose life he was able to take and justify it.
Right.
So it's funny, like, you know, as we talk, like, that's something that I had to think about. Like, I'm glad that I was at a better place and I didn't make a choice that I could have made, because in hindsight, it could have hurt me.
Sure.
At this point. As far as what needs to happen. So one of my posts I was going to do is going to be, what if? What if the guy's on the ground, you have three other officers there. What if one officer would have said, hey, let's back up a little bit off his neck. Let me take this part of him. You go do something else. What if one officer did that?
He'd be alive.
You have legs, two on his back. He'll be alive right now today. Mm-hmm. What if? What if? While all this was happening, the officer that was standing and watching the people, the brother-in-law of the one officer, what if he can hear the people saying, you're going to kill him? He hears what's happening. He sees the video going. Just for the I don't want this on video. What if he'd have went and said, hey, he looks like he's okay. Let's get him away.
Right.
What if he goes unconscious, and you see he's unconscious, mm-hmm. and you see that he still has his knee on him for three more minutes from that point. Mm-hmm. What if when he went unconscious, instead of having your knee on him for three more minutes, what if you took it off right when you were fighting or he wasn't kind of responding? What if you did it then? Could that have helped him in a certain way or given him some time or a chance to see what was going on, check his vitals, all those type of things? Right.
If you never put your knee on his neck because it's not something you're supposed to do?
Think about all the what ifs. What if these other officers seen this happening, and what if any of those officers would have said something about anything, how you're doing it? Yeah. So now how do we change it? How do we stop it? One, people got to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. Paul, if I'm messing up, Paul, you got to call me on it. Tim, if you messing up, I got to call you on it. What am I calling you on? I'm calling you on what I see that isn't how you're supposed to treat people.
Spot on.
Right? Where does that start? It starts with first, how you talk about people. If you are in a squad room or you are in a bar or you are in a situation and someone starts a conversation of, that gay blah blah blah, or right. that black blah blah blah, or you see how big those lips are on that. The minute you allow or you laugh at that, that gives them the okay to always bring this type stuff to you. I have a friend of mine, somebody that I'm close to, sent me a picture. The picture was Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. Michelle Obama's little meme was like, oh, you're so old and you smell like Bengay. And then Hillary Clinton's response was, is that your wiener, I feel? And they were like hugging. This is somebody I consider a friend. They send it to me. I said, I don't think you meant to send that to me. I didn't get upset. I didn't get angry. I didn't say anything. And the response was, nope, I didn't mean to send you that. They sent me a different picture. But if I would have laughed at it.
You allowed it. Yeah.
If I would have said, I would have allowed it. Right. So how do we help? How do I'm speaking to you guys as Caucasian white. I don't know how to say it. To me, it's just like, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yes.
Like, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that. But from a different perspective, if I say to you, how does our Caucasian or white community help? One, you don't accept that type of energy when it comes to you. That is so key. Think about it. We all have, listen, I have friends that say things about white people that I don't engage in. Right? Just like I know there's white people that have friends that say stuff about other races and everything else that you don't engage in it. I don't engage in it. The reason why I don't post a lot of stuff that has to do anything with racial divide or anything of that nature, because I don't want all the energy.
Yep.
Not that it doesn't affect me, right? So people, I have some friends that are very, they're like, boom, we going, Facebook warriors, social media warriors. Somebody say something I don't like, I'm going on their post. Somebody else say something I don't like, I'm going on their post. You know what I'm talking about. They on everybody. They talking, they're everywhere. Yep. We have those type of people. The other people that don't say anything but like your comment, or don't say anything but comment in your post, but then you go to their post, they have nothing to really say about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's all, that's everything that's happening. So if you have an emotion, Paul, and you feel a certain way about what you see, you should be okay and comfortable with saying it and not really worrying about who chimes in. And then what's going to happen is you're going to say one thing and someone's going to come in and say, oh, well, it shouldn't be da 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 da. Two things can happen. You can say, I respect your opinion, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Or you can say, you know what? This is how I feel. This is how I view it. If this is something that bothers you, this is my post. You don't have to comment on it. Yep. But now the difference between us is that we are community people.
Right.
Right. So we don't want to really get into the back and forth and the bickering back and forth.
Yep.
But we still have to be, if I believe in something, I'm not going to let you change what I see and what I feel. And that's what I think people try to do, whether it's one way or the other.
Yes, it is. That's a lot of the divide, no matter what it is, whether it's race, politics. I don't see too much of it about religion anymore, but race and politics specifically, it's exactly that. You nail on the head, man.
You can't say something without having to think about how you say it.
Right.
Because if it comes off and I read it the wrong way, you're going to be like, damn, how is Carlos going to respond to this? When I say me, I'm not talking about me per se, because I look at everything as a glass jar, and I dissect. Like, I don't have a problem with Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Trump disapporter.
Yep.
There are some things I like about Trump and some things I don't like about Trump.
Yep.
I look at what he says, and then I dissect it as to what is the parameter for what he's saying. And then there's other parts of what he says, and I say, but he didn't have to add that part. Right? Again, he came out and he said, what happened to Gregory Floyd was a really tragic thing. And we are going to have the FBI go and check him out. Great. The looting and everything happens. These thugs got to stop. Da, 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 they can't really restore their own city. And then he adds the quote from 1967.
Yeah. Yeah.
When there's segregation.
Right.
And then now when he adds that quote, other people are saying, yeah, get the fire hose out and fire hose them. Think about what that does.
Right. Right.
Think about what that does. That just triggers and infuriates.
Oh, it's you're hitting the hornet's nest, man. I mean,
our parents went through all that.
Right.
Our parents' parents before that went through even more.
Fueling the fire. Right?
So it's not like it's that far away.
Right.
Right.
You get what I mean? So when you see that in a Trump situation, bothers me. Do I look at it and say, oh, Trump is racist? I don't know if I would say that was racist, but it came from a time where racial tensions were really, really high.
Yeah.
It was really, really high. And that's something that just should not be said.
Right.
Right. And that's what happens with a lot of people is that they say things that, shouldn't have really said that. Right. And then what happens is if you say it enough, then people hold on to it and it becomes the character of who you are.
100%.
Right.
100%.
Right.
I know. I mean, I was telling Tim this before, and the three of us are very similar people. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I feel, exactly how I believe. A lot of who we are starts off as a something we do, an action or a – I wish – for some reason the word – it's an easy word, but it's eluding me right now. Mm-hmm. But it starts off as just something we do. Let's just say it's negativity. That is an action that we do. That is something we post a negative post on Facebook. We say a negative thing. And it starts off as something we do, and it turns into who we become.
Say that one more time. I'm going to get closer to the screen.
No, you're good.
I got the earbuds on. I just want to make sure you say that. So I really make sure I heard exactly what you said, because it sounded like we should phrase that. We should frame that quote.
Yes. Say it one more time. It was exactly that.
I'm with you so much. We agree 110%. And like, I feel like we're the same person. And a lot of times the three of us have the same mindset. And that mindset is a lot of who we are started off as little actions or little things that we did. So it could be a negative post on Facebook. It could be a negative conversation. It could be engaging in that negativity. It starts off as this little action. Then we do it again. And we do it again, and it becomes the person that we are. It can be flip-flopped on the positive side too. So you start off with your positive view, your positive action, your positive this, and that action slowly becomes the person that you are. That is now who you are. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you just
absolutely. Said, your actions speak louder than your
absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely,
becomes absolutely. Who you yep. are.
100%.
And when you in these situations. In these situations, you see it magnified by 10 times.
Right.
The same people with the same energy and the same, I can't even say agenda because everyone kind of has the perspective of what they see. Right. Sure. But when you truly, and this is why I believe why we're doing this, when you truly don't understand where it's really coming from. When someone says that your perspective isn't correct, it's because you don't understand what it's like.
Right.
Truly.
Right. Yes.
You understand what you see, but you don't understand what it's like truly.
And a lot of what we see is beyond our control because it's what certain media or whatever wants us to see.
What they want you to see. It's the agenda of what they want you to see.
Yeah.
It's the agenda of what they want you to see.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to say we could do an entire podcast on, and I'll tell you right now, and that's part of me getting fired up, is the media agenda. I mean, there's way more than just that, but that's one thing that as we get talking and I'm seeing things, and again, that could be a whole different podcast for real about what they show and what they don't show. Yeah, as I was telling Tim.
Let's just, I'm going to stop you real quick.
No, you're good.
The video that I shared with you.
Yeah.
Of the guy going and breaking the windows.
Yeah.
That was white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was no media coverage on that, but there's an actual video on it.
And that's right? it's all over. I saw after you sent me that, I ended up finding having to go find it more.
So then last night I was watching. I watched Fox. I watched all of them. And so I was watching Fox last night, and they were doing the White House. In the White House, they were doing the protest there, and everybody. And so if you listen to Fox, Fox really has an issue with Black Lives Matter.
Anytime, I want to talk about that too. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So anytime they speak on Black Lives Matter, they're saying Black Lives Matter is this is Trump's thugs, a bunch of people that are going out and causing problems and causing riots and stuff. So last night, and again, this is like the agenda, right? And again, I watch all of them, so I kind of know what's happening. Fox, the reporter was saying, these people brought bricks to throw at the Secret Service. They brought water bottles. They actually came here and brought stuff to throw adding what into this whole Black Lives. And then he was saying, he was like, yes, and you can see they broke this bright barrier that they had. They had a barrier up, the Black Lives Matter. The aggressive, they came in and they knocked it down. And then if you look up front there, those are all the Black Lives Matter group that's up in front and in front of the Secret Services. And they're yelling at them and they're spitting at them and they're pushing them back. Oh, they're all white people.
Yep.
And Asians.
Yes.
People that believe that Black Lives Matter. Right. But those aren't, that's not what they're saying.
Right.
When they're saying Black Lives Matter, they're right. saying the black people in Black Lives Matter are the ones that are causing all these problems.
Yeah.
Right. It's when the way they want it to look.
When you look at the police, the police precinct 3 and the fires that was going on, do you know how many white people I saw throwing stuff in those fires?
Oh yeah.
And getting them going?
Yeah. 100%. It's there was.
I'm trying not to do the race thing.
No. Right?
But the world will see it as all the black people are so upset.
Yes.
That they're burning down their own city.
Yes.
And, burning down their yes. stuff. And this is what's happening. I can't believe that's happening. But when you actually look at it, and you look, that's not what. Not saying that there wasn't. Not saying
For
that
sure.
there wasn't.
For
I'm saying
sure.
There was. There was. I'm not saying there wasn't. But go ahead.
They're rioting. And I was telling Paul earlier, there's a difference between a protest. We had a protest today in Syracuse. It was peaceful. Yep. The police helped them. The police helped, you know, make sure it was civil. They had roads blocked off for them. There was a protest. That's what a protest is. These people are rioting.
Yes.
And it's out of control. I was telling Paul, I'm running, you know where Woodlawn is, right? Mm-hmm. Carlos?
Yep.
I'm running it and I'm looking over our city. You know how beautiful it is up there. You can see the whole city. And I'm thinking, what if this was just an inferno? What if people were rioting here? And it made me kind of proud of our city because we have issues, right? Syracuse mm-hmm. has issues. Mm-hmm. But these people are rioting and they don't even, I think some of them don't even know why they're just, like you said, they're just there. And they're throwing bricks and they're bringing shit to these riots just to create, they're setting buildings on fire and doing all this stuff. Why?
I'll tell you.
There's low-income housing being built and they burn it to the ground.
That's the thing.
This was going to be somebody's home and they burn it to the ground.
But the thing is who is burning it to the ground? Because that's exactly it. If you, and I'm not, listen, man, like there's a lot of hands in this. There's a lot of people in this. If you go strictly by what the media wants you to think and see, it is all the upset black people. That is what the media wants you to see.
Right.
What we don't, we might understand, but I don't know that a lot of people understand, and that's okay. We can all be educated on this, is a lot. I can't even say a lot, but there's definitely times. I don't know how often. Maybe it's every time. Maybe it's only a couple times. Where it's somebody from a different city, a group coming in from a different area to that area, destroying that area, leaving, while everybody else has to then fix that. That's not even the people from that city. It's other people's agenda. Now, going back to the media, I'll make it like real, real quick, is there's just a couple things I've seen. There was a New York Post, the New York Post, they had a picture. Two white dudes armed. Like, I'm talking this. I don't know much about guns. They were scary looking guns to me. They were big guns, man. Armed. And the headline read something to the effect of rednecks protecting the businesses during the riot. Something to that effect. I'm definitely paraphrasing. Rednecks was in there in quotes. I then watched the video. In the video, because as you read farther in the article, it says there's two other men with them. In the video, the two other men that are with them are two black guys. So you've got two white guys, two black guys together standing arm in arm to defend these businesses and to protect them. But the picture is two white guys with the guns and the black guys that are mentioned in the article are just other men with masks. There's no race. So as any human, no matter what race you are, if you read it or if you just, what a lot of people do is look at the headline, all you see is a couple of racist white dudes standing there with guns. Just like the opposite, you know, it goes, obviously everything I just said has gone both ways. But it's the agenda. It's what we see. It's what we are shown. I've got a million more examples that I'm not going to go over.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, LaPaul, because you know what? If I wouldn't be a person that would read more into it, and I just saw that, my first response was like, well, here we go.
Yeah, people read the headlines and come to a yeah.
Here comes 1950.
Right.
1960.
That's what they
want. A true race war.
Right.
Where you're gonna have people from, as you said, the agenda, because of what they're showing and saying, you're gonna have people losing it.
Yes.
On both sides.
Yep.
And that's not even gonna be what it's gonna be. I saw a picture of about 10 black men protecting one officer.
Yes, I saw that, Carlos.
In Connecticut. You don't see that. People don't talk about that enough. Right. And this is what the difference is. And it's funny because there's a quote from Will Smith. It's like, there's always been police brutality, but now you actually get to see it because of, you know, cameras and phones, things like that. That's a lot of what we're able to see. But then even within that, you're getting a different twist on it, however the person wants you to perceive it.
Right.
Right. But you can't twist that of these men protecting these black men protecting this one white officer.
Right.
Right.
Now, I had to read more into it. In March, a lady was shot and killed by an officer in that city. So the tensions are still really, really high.
Right.
By two white officers. They were going for what they thought was a drug house that wasn't the correct house. They had a no-knock warrant. They walked into the house. The boyfriend had a legal gun. He didn't know what was going on. They didn't say who they were. They were in plain clothes. He showed the gun. They shot at him and they killed her. They shot her 8 times. Oh. Right? So in this situation, the backstory behind it was, it wasn't just them protesting for Gregory Floyd. It was what happened 3 months ago when the girl got killed.
Yeah.
Being in her own home, when the police have a warrant that says a no knock, they don't have to identify themselves. And now you're walking in someone's house.
Right.
Like, without saying who, like, you know what I mean? That just can't happen.
Yeah.
And then you kill the people in the house, or you kill the lady in the house. Right. So I didn't know that until today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I saw the picture. I was like, oh, this is really awesome that, you know, these guys, like, that's what we're supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be about. This is not about law enforcement. It's about bad people making bad choices and no one calling them out on those choices.
Right.
None of this will change on your person's heart.
Spot on. Spot on. You said it, and damn, where the hell was I? I had something right there.
Lost
man.
It, Paul.
Because you know what? Because then I felt like I cut you off. I do that.
Oh, you're fine, man. You're
good. But we, you guys keep going. I forgot what I was going to say about it. Let me touch on this actually while it's on my head now. So we talked about, first of all, we talked about not knowing or not understanding things that we aren't privy to that I don't know. Like everything you taught me in the beginning of this podcast are things that I could have assumed, but I didn't really feel. And I never ever will really feel unless I live it. But to hear it and to try to feel it through what you're telling me was powerful.
So Paul, the reason why is because you know me.
Right.
So right. You can feel it because of our connection that we have.
100%.
I can. We have that connection. So I can speak to you and I can say, and you can feel, you could probably feel my pain. You could probably feel through my eyes what I'm seeing. You could probably feel family has experienced over these years, just from the story and how I'm breaking this stuff down to you.
Right.
100%. And
where if we didn't have that connection, and you heard it, you probably, it's just like if you see it, you probably wouldn't really understand it. But because we have a connection, it brings you more into, oh,
right.
That's what they mean when they say,
right.
And that's why this was so important.
So you guys too, again, we all have that mindset and that similarity. And I know I keep saying it because it's just what it's what I feel with you, you know, it's how it is. And I'm going to answer this question for you. That I was going to ask. We all have aha moments all the time. And those aha moments could be brought to us from our kids, Oh, I didn't even think of that, but your four-year-old just taught you this. Yeah. Or, you know, I try not to get too many aha moments on Facebook posts, but I had an aha moment today as I was scrolling Facebook. And I'm going to tell you guys how I felt and thought and how I was changed today. And I'll try to make it quick. When I first started hearing things like Black Lives Matter and BLM, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, I didn't completely understand it. I understood that the goal behind it was what it was, you know, that they, the Black Lives Matter, that lives matter. But every time I heard it, my thought was, literally until right now, my thought was, all lives matter. Like, that's the way I was brought up. If you were Black, white, Asian, if you were a girl, if you were a boy, if you were confused, if you had disabilities, all lives mattered. Like, that is legitimately how I've always lived. And so anytime I would hear Black Lives Matter, I would think all lives matter. I wouldn't argue it. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, well, no, wait a minute. No, they all matter. Like, no. Like, but in my brain, deep down in my, I know I felt all lives matter. And all lives do matter.
So when you hear it, it's kind of, that's stupid. Like, all lives matter. What do you mean? Like, why is it just Black lives? Like, everybody matter. But right. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So my aha moment today. Tim, I sent you this picture earlier. I know you were wicked busy at work. I don't even saw it. And Carlos, I'll show you. And this is my aha moment. I hate getting an aha moment from Facebook, but I did. And it's a picture of a house. It's a picture of two houses. And one house is on fire. You probably can't even see it, huh?
No, I can't really see it.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, just send him the message right now.
One house is on fire and the other house is not. There is a person there putting water on the house that is not on fire. And the caption or the top of it reads, "This is what you sound like when you say all lives matter." People are talking about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And it was my aha moment of, yes, all lives matter, and nobody is saying that they don't. What they are saying is the fire is on this house. This house right here needs the water. So this thing right here says all houses matter. So this is what it sounds like when you when someone says all lives matter. And it says all houses matter, and the water is being poured on the house that doesn't have a fire. The house next door has a fire on it. It was an aha moment for me as I'm looking at this juvenile drawing that was possibly drawn by a fourth grader. And it's like, yes, all lives matter. But in this moment, or all houses matter, we'll say, in this moment, though, that water doesn't need to be on this house. The fire is right here. The Black Lives Matter. That's where the fire is right now. And we need to understand that to completely embrace it. Does this make sense to you? Does that make sense? Am 100%. I making sense?
Yes. So Paul, so it's amazing that you share that, because just as you explain it, I can tell just how much growth you got just from that.
100%.
Like how you explained it and how you broke it down and how you articulate it and the emotion of how you said it, I can tell that you've grown just from that message. That's what the message has always been about.
Right.
It has never been, we matter more than you. It has never been that. It has been Black Lives Matter because we are burning. Like, we are burning. And now I say we, again, I don't post a lot of stuff on Facebook, but all of it affects me. When I post, it's reflecting my 14-year-old, soon to be 15-year-old son.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who, as I said in my post, he's 6'2", 220-pound, Black, Latino-looking kid who could fit a description. Who, because he's so big, and so you automatically going to come at him with a different type of aggression because of how big he is, anticipating that he's going to come at you in a certain kind of way. And don't let him be a kid that has a little resistance of, why are you grabbing me? Why are you, which means it's going to make you even more aggressive.
Right.
In that situation. So for me, I now am looking at it even more from a different perspective because
I'm sure
I am to the point where I feel I know how to handle them in that situation.
Right.
Right. And I also feel that if something, God forbid, something were to ever happen to me, I have my family in a position where they will be okay.
Right.
So now my priority and my job is to get my, not just my boys, but my girls too, but ideally my boys, my young black to become men at some point to get them through this phase of life. So I have to get my son James through a phase of life that if we don't have these conversations that we're having right now,
right,
and if you guys are not able to take this conversation and go share it with other people who then can share it with maybe someone in law enforcement who can there share it and say, man, if you see something, say something.
Right.
If you see something that's not right, say something. There's no reason why this officer should have still been on there if he had 18 other reports written on him. Mm-hmm. Right. So now my son has a better chance of surviving because Paul had an aha moment.
Right.
Paul was able to say, all lives do matter, but in this situation, black lives matter.
Right. 100%.
If we as a society can change that and start building off of just that type of that type of mindset and growth, that gives my sons in those situations a better, listen, my son goes down to Liverpool Lake all the time. He goes fishing, he rides a skateboard, he does all those things. What happens if he happens to roll up on his skateboard and the lady sees him? Maybe the lady's doing something, you know, she doesn't have a leash on her dog. And he says, hey, ma'am, you gotta have your leash on your dog over here. And she says, you know, I'm gonna call the cops and tell them you're trying to kill me.
Right. Right.
Like, how does that stop?
Right.
Right.
Like, how does a guy, he's a delivery truck person, he's delivering appliances into a gated community. He's already in the community. He's trying to leave the community. And the people from that community come out and stop him from leaving. Who are you? Why are you in here? How'd you get in here? Well, you see, I'm in a big delivery truck.
Right.
I'm delivering appliances. How'd you get the gate? The person that lived in the house gave me the security number to get into the gate. But that profiling and that type of energy is what can save my son if we can change that type of energy.
Absolutely.
Trayvon Absolutely. Martin. I hate to bring it up, but it's he's walking in a community that he's supposed to be in.
Right.
And for whatever happened, he ends up dead. That's not supposed to happen.
Right.
Paul, my aha moment, and Carlos, my aha moment was about 10 years ago. A coworker of mine, he was a black male. His name's Rob. Him and I worked midnights, right? So we worked the overnight shift. Well, one thing that him and I always did, I was training in martial arts. And so Paul would have us doing these runs, right? Because you got to qualify and all this stuff.
Damn right.
So Rob was like, hey, I'll go running with you. No problems. Well, we're tucked away, you know, in Onondaga Hill in a nice neighborhood is where our job is. We would go out at 3 o'clock in the morning and run through these neighborhoods. 3 o'clock in the morning. And my aha moment was one day.
You said Rob was black?
Rob was black. And one day, I come into work, and I was off the night before. I wasn't there. I go, Rob, I go, hey, how was your run last night? And he looked at me, and he goes, run? He goes, I can't go in that neighborhood by myself. That was my aha moment. Mm-hmm. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, dude, he goes, if a black man was seen running through that neighborhood, I would have had cops called on me, and I would have been drawn down on, no doubt in my mind. When he wow. means drawn down, meaning the police officer would have pulled up with him running, right? He's just out getting exercise. But because he's running through a neighborhood like that, they would have treated it differently. That was my aha moment.
Man. So Tim, when you seen the Aubrey guy that got killed down in South Carolina for running in his neighborhood, and the guys kind of hunted him down and shot him dead, how would that, when your buddy tells you that I can't run at night, that was during the broad daylight.
Right.
I can't run at night. And here we are, you know, 10, however many years later, and you see exactly what he said to you back 100%. Then. And you're talking about running at night, and this guy was running, and it was broad daylight.
Yeah. You know, and we were running. I mean, we were running in the middle of the night. Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Right. At 3 o'clock in the morning, could you imagine, like, what right. that right. could have ended up being?
Right. For sure. For sure. Just a couple like wicked quick points, because it's stuff that we talked about previously that I wanted to just touch on. You know, you guys, one thing, and now I missed a lot of the conversation about the police officers. My internet was going crazy. I don't know if you guys saw that I got up and left for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My internet was like not working. So mm-hmm. I had to go try to mess with my whatever, I don't know what that thing's called. But anyways, so I'm back. But I missed a lot of that conversation, and you may have already said it, but just like all people in all jobs and all careers. And listen, man, my brother's a police officer, my brother-in-law, but I've been with my wife for 20 years. So my brother's a police officer, my cousins, I've got cousins that are police officers. We all know, just like any race, any ethnicity, not all police officers are bad. Not all. We all know that stuff. I saw a quote, and I want to say it was Chris Rock. I don't know if this was a quote from like a comedy thing he did or if this was a quote directly related to what's going on. I don't know that, but I'm going to paraphrase here. And one of the things that he said was police officers need to pay more, be paid more. And we can't accept the, oh, well, there's a bad apple. I mean, Carlos, we know this with martial arts school instructors, right? We know this with martial arts business owners who will ruin the name of it for, you know, people like us. But what he said was, we can't accept that there's a bad apple. They need to be paid more. We can't accept that there's, oh, well, some are bad, some are good. We can't accept that there's bad ones. And let's compare it to, can you guys, my internet.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
You're coming in and out, man.
You're breaking like up. It's on you now. It's on
like
you.
Whenever we get warmed up, it's like we get warmed up, we're moving, and then boom.
So
try it again.
So just again, to paraphrase, he talked about paying cops more, and he talked about how we can't accept the fact that there are bad cops, that some people are just bad and that's who they are. That would be like being okay with some pilots just being bad. Like, oh, well, he lands the plane sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. Like, not okay. Does it make sense?
Absolutely. So
can here, you guys hear me?
We can't hear you.
I think I'm lost.
You keep kind
you
of
guys are frozen. I'm not here, frozen.
I think it's because... It might be because you talk with your hands so much,
Can
Paul.
You hear me now?
We got you.
Dude, it's an
Italian thing. All right.
I get it.
Paul, you're absolutely right.
My internet is horrible.
Yeah, that's why I had to leave where I was at.
I'm going to go check my internet. You guys keep talking. I'll be back.
But we want to answer your question.
Yeah.
We want to answer your question. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're frozen, but I can hear you.
Okay. All right. So to reflect on what you just said, you're absolutely right. So when you have someone that is in the position of service of the community, you can't afford to have bad apples, because that bad apple can ruin the whole bunch, right? So I totally, now, as a society, you have amazing white people, and you also have some unbelievably evil white people. In the black community, you have some amazing black people, but you also have some very bad ones too. Some evil ones, let's just say, ones that have a bad heart. So with those two things, you can't really control that as much, besides trying to do your best to try to help people get to a better place. But when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to public service, when it comes to school teachers, when it comes to these type of roles, you can't afford to allow that to happen. So when you have these apples, they have to be called out. They have to be brought on notice. It can't be the good old boys club. It can't be swept. Listen, this whole thing, there's so many times that it's not just the own department that's sweeping it under the rug. It's the commissioner, it's the mayor, it's the people that's above that are sweeping this under the rug. Why are they sweeping it under the rug? Because they don't want all that backlash that's going to come. But what's happening is just now it's getting out a lot more than what it used to be able to do. Right? The two guys that killed the guy that was running, they would not have ever been charged if there wasn't a video for it.
Right.
right? This officer that killed this other guy would have never had a true understanding of what happened if there wasn't a video for it. Right? There's so many different ways. Someone has shared a post, and it was amazing to me. Like, it was like all these different things that she was a white lady who was married to a black man, and she was talking about how she never understood what white privilege was. And when she was in college, her professor would talk about white privilege, and she would be bothered by that. Just kind of like how you said you were bothered by all Black Lives Matter. So she would be bothered by the fact that they're saying white privilege. What do you mean by white privilege? I don't get it. And until now and recently, she's seeing what's happening. And then you just go through the history of just the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years of all the minorities that have been killed or murdered by police officers. And she can go for a run in the neighborhood and not have to worry about somebody hunting her down. She can say to another lady, hey, your dog needs to have a leash, and not have her, the lady threaten to call the cops pretending like she's gonna be killed by this other white lady. She can buy a pack of cigarettes. She can sell a CD. She can conceal carry license to be able to carry her gun. You as an officer ask me, do you have a gun on you? I say yes. Do you have a permit to carry that gun? I say yes. This is a white lady saying it. Allow me to see your license for that permit. She can go and grab her license for the permit. 4 years ago, a black man did that same thing to grab his license for the permit. The officer shot him 5 times. But before he shot him, he said to him, give me your license so I can see your concealed carry permit. He goes and gets it out. As he's getting it out, you shoot and kill him in front of a 3-year-old kid and his girlfriend in the car. Oh. This was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? So when she put this up, this is what I do. I see people that actually share their emotion because they've had their aha moment, right? Right. And it means, without me going out and saying, oh, you don't say anything, you don't, it means so much to someone like me when I see that, because it makes me feel like you understand.
Right.
Like, and when you see this whole list of what she spent, there was probably like 20, there was people on there, I didn't even realize it had happened.
Right.
Because it wasn't in the media. It wasn't magnified. It wasn't, you know what I mean? There was no video. There was no, right. So you're just going, so this, listen, the police officers go to a lady's house. She's in a house with her son. Her and her son are playing a video game. And the police officer thinks that because the video game is being so loud that he heard gunshots coming from inside the house, he shoots through the window and kills the lady through the window.
Wow.
He didn't go inside. He didn't check. He just assumed, because her and her son were playing a video game, that someone was shooting outside or for the house at him. So he's outside her window, and he shoots into her window and kills her.
Wow. Incredible. Insane.
But Paul, you can play video games with your son, have a cop come up to your house. You can be playing Call of Duty. And the cops is knocking on your door like, hey, Paul, just hello.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
They don't pull out their guns and kicking it in and coming in after you. Like, it'd be like, who's shooting up in here? Like, you know?
Right. Right.
No, I never get into that with people, man.
Sure.
But with all this that's going on, it's great to see people actually realize that there is more behind it. Even when they're blaming the Black Lives Matter people for what's happening and all stuff, but some of it is like white people doing it. I'm not okay with looting. I'm not okay with rioting. I understand the frustration and anger, but that I don't believe that's going to give the answer. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. That's totally not the right way. There has to be another way.
This is the right way. We need to talk more about it. We need to interracially connect more.
But the biggest thing though, Tim, is we need to talk more about it, but also action has to be taken too.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, again, a lot of the frustration is all the conversations that have been had about it, right? Mm-hmm. This just happened right now, but guess what? It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to happen again.
It's a vicious cycle. It just keeps repeating, you know.
And even with all the people that this national attention this has brought to it, you're still going to have one person that's going to abuse his power, that is going to go beyond, that is going to claim he was fearing for his life. And listen, police officers, it is a very difficult job, because everything can flip on you in a quick change. Right. I understand that completely. I totally get that. But if you're going in already with kind of an agenda, that's a problem. If you're going in with the feeling of I am going to show you that I am the authority, that's the problem.
Right.
That's what this situation was. He was on his neck to demonstrate that he can keep this big, strong, scrapping black man down. Oh yeah, he's got two other friends that's got him too.
Yeah.
But when you see how he's on him and he's kneeling on him, it almost looked like he had his hand in his pocket.
He did. While he's kneeling on him. Yeah, he's saw that.
Just nonchalant, like, nope, I got you. Right. You ain't going nowhere. I'm in control.
Right.
That's an abuse of power. You can't do that. Doubt. So for us to have these conversations, from these conversations, there has to be actions. Because 100%. If the actions were taken by those other officers who would have been in this conversation with us, but they weren't able to go to him and say, this is not right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? This is not right. That's not how we do it. That's not how we were trained to do it. Right? It won't change anything. Nothing's gonna change.
It's you spoke about your son and his size. Did you say 6'2"?
6'2", man.
6'2", 220. He's 14. How old is he?
14. It'd be 15 next week.
I remember 14. I was like 5'2". 20 pounds. But yeah. Anyways, so
14, I was like 5'9". So I get it. Like, I grew late. Like, I can't believe how big this dude is right now.
Dude, I did too. I grew really late.
Maybe I'll still grow late.
You got some time.
How late are we talking? But so you mentioned that, and just for any of our listeners, if Carlos, if your students are listening, Tim, if our students are listening, and you are an adult student who spars, this is just the perfect analogy, if I'm using that correctly. The perfect analogy is like sparring a teenager who is bigger, looks like a man, but it's a teenager. And they pop you once like decent, and you're like, oh, all right, well, I guess we're going to hit like men now. And you pick up the pace with this 14-year-old kid. I mean, Tim, we could use Dylan Ferenczi as the example. Oh, yeah. He might not be a huge kid, but
he's scrappy.
He's scrappy. He hits with power. Mm-hmm. So he might catch you, and you're like, all right, we're going to go. And then after you get done, then you're done. Then you realize, shit, he's 14.
Yeah.
You know, so that same – can you guys hear me or no?
Yeah, we can hear you.
What happens when I talk? Do I talk too fast?
You're frozen.
Do I speak too fast?
This is what you look like this year.
But, similar.
That's how you look.
I got you again. Sorry, Paul. The listeners can't see what we're doing here. That's the best part, right? So everyone's going, what the hell's going on? What are they doing right now?
Could you still hear me or no?
Yeah.
I can't even hear you guys. I don't know what's going on with my ears.
Listen,
I don't know what's happening.
You know, I hope this podcast reaches a lot of people. I hope people share it. I hope people listen to this and understand the message that we are trying to spread here. And the message needs to be, for all humanity. And we need to be together, man. We need to be as one. Enough is enough. Everything is just gotten so out of hand. And, it's a vicious cycle. Carlos, I can't agree with you more, man. It's going to happen again unless every single person listening to this shares it. And sharing it is taking action, right? If you hear this conversation, you go, man, these guys are really, you know, opening up to each other. And I think more people need to hear this. That's taking action. And then keep spreading it, man. We need to do that. That's where we need to get to.
Absolutely. So I feel I want to close with this. Martin Luther King said, and this is a very famous speech that he says, and this is where people as a society, that if we can take on these words, it will help us all. Judge me not by the color of my skin, but the content of my character. So if I am in the environment with you and my character presents a position that makes you feel uncomfortable, unsafe, then whatever you choose to put yourself in or do, that is because you're responding to my character or my, as Paul said, my action that I'm presenting to you. But if I am not giving that to you, don't look at the color of my skin and just say, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. That goes for all races. That goes for everything that we do.
Nailed it.
Judge me by my character. My character is based off what, Paul? My action that you said earlier. If I'm coming at you in an aggressive way, if this guy was coming at this lady in an aggressive way about the leash on her dog and she felt threatened, she has all the right to call the police. If these guys see this black man running through the neighborhood, he's his action is he's running, he's destroying stuff, he's being out of control, they have all the right to, quote unquote, do a citizen arrest or call the cops so they can take care of the situation. Because the character of that person has presented that to him. If, from what we see in any of the video angles that we see, if Floyd was giving a certain level of resistance and his character was raw, raw, just uncontrollable, and you had to hold him down, not saying you had to hold him down by his neck, but you had to get him to a point where he was calm and he was relaxed before you could move him somewhere else. That was because of his actions that led him to that. If you have 5 or 6 other people to help you deal with someone's character, you don't have to kill this person. This person should not have to feel like, should not have to die in your presence. If you have enough people to deal with the character, and if the character doesn't present itself that you have to do that, you should never have to do it.
Spot on, Carlos. I appreciate you doing this with us. I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. And if you guys, I mean, Tim, I already know you are for sure. Carlos, if you're good with it, I want to have more conversations like this. I want to do this again. If you guys are good with it, I would even be cool. Like, if you guys want, bring more people on, have a bigger conversation. Grow this Zoom here to 30 of us having a conversation. I don't know, but to do more with this, I think I know this needs to happen a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have the right platform, and I think that we're the right people to make this happen. I don't want to say a movement, but to have this action, to have these conversations and to take action from it. If you guys are good with it, man, I think we should do more of this.
Yeah, I'm with it, man. Listen, so as martial artists, our goal is to impact someone's life, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're able to bring someone, if in our conversation, which it sounds like because you guys are willing to do this, you are already kind of projecting your growth and your change of your perspective on certain things, right? If we could bring someone in and another person was able to gain a growth of their perspective, you know, if this is a podcast and they're able to grow from what their perception was into what it actually looks like, this is us doing exactly what we are meant to do. And yes, that is, sir, empowering people and impacting lives and getting people to become the best version of themselves. If everybody were focused on becoming the best version of themselves, much of this would not be happening.
Nailed it. 100% agree with that.
Yes, sir.
Carlos, man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for sitting down with us tonight. We knew this was going to go a while. We knew it. Paul and I talked for 2.5 hours last night. I was exhausted, I couldn't sleep, man. I just, and then love having you on board, man. I love everything you guys you're doing for the community.
Like I said, I would love to come on and chat with you guys. And really about anything. I mean, if there's anything you guys want to talk about, you know, I'll jump in with you guys and just be another voice.
You want to talk about how bad of a temper Paul has on the basketball court? Want to talk about that?
Listen, Paul, you're a little feisty, man. You're
remember? Feisty.
Listen, dude, I'm frozen. I've been frozen for half of Carlos's talk at the end there. I was frozen. All I came back to was Paul's temper on the basketball court. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Listen, Paul, I was sitting on the bench. I was watching you play defense. I was like, wait, that's a karate chop. He is chopping. He's not trying to steal the ball. Those are called downward shootos. I know what that move is. That's because these guys play basketball. You don't think I know what the move is, Paul. You got to tell me. I know that little trick.
Oh man. Too much fun.
Hey guys, I want to thank you again, man. I do have to get running.
Yeah.
You guys are thank totally you, awesome. Carlos. I'm so happy we're able to do this. I hope we're able to kind of change some perspective for people and just give them just a different way to look at things. Paul, that to me, man, that's amazing. That's an amazing assessment. And that's something you should share with people. And just kind of have, I mean, just say this isn't my
100%.
Something I just want to share with you guys. I'm kind of been able to grow because that's important. People need to hear that this is where you it came for you, Paul.
Yeah.
You are a leader. You are someone that people look up to.
Spot on.
They follow you, right? So when you say that, it'll give them a different perspective. Because they probably all think and feel just like how you feel. All lives matter. And they absolutely do. But this house is burning right now. And that we need each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, I love it.
I'm out of here.
Thank you, Carlos.
Hey, man. Carlos, thank you so much. Paul, you want to lead us out?
Yeah. If you guys can hear me, I will lead us out the way we do every week. And just a friendly reminder that, you know, especially now, we see it more and more and more. Man, we do our best to not take life for granted. Enjoy every minute. Live life to the fullest and live today like it could be your last chance at having this life. So live it to the fullest and enjoy every moment, man.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening in. Carlos, again, thanks for being on board. See you guys.
Bye, guys.